Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sugandha, and I'll be your host for today's episode. As someone who moved to Canada permanently a few years ago, I know how much time and effort it takes to wrap up your life at home and start from scratch in a new country. In episode 6 of the first season of Countdown to Canada, we covered the things you should be doing in your first 100 days after arriving in Canada. And you can find a link to our comprehensive guide on preparing for your move to Canada in the episode description. Today, I'm with my colleague Clem Levalier, a former newcomer to Canada from France, and we will be talking about all of the things you should complete before you leave your home country. Hi, Clem. I am so glad to have you with me for this episode. How are you?
Hi, Sugandha. I'm doing well. Let me tell you, I wish I had had someone to walk me through all of this when I moved here. So I'm really sure this is going to be a very valuable episode for the newcomers who are getting ready for their move.
I absolutely agree. So let's dive right in. As a newcomer, your journey starts when you choose and apply for a Canadian immigration program. Now, while you wait for your application to be processed and to be formally approved for PR, and yes, that wait can sometimes seem endless, there will be so much for you to do. You likely want to do some research just to get a better idea of what your future life will be like and to get some preparation done in advance. It's not always going to be easy to keep track of everything. So Arrive has created a handy pre-arrival checklist for Canada that you can download. You can print it, tick things off as you complete them, and this way you'll always know what's next. And you can find a link to this checklist in the episode description.
I want to add that this pre-arrival checklist is incredibly comprehensive, and it covers all of the crucial tasks that you need to do from the time you apply for immigration right up until the day of your flight. So please do download it. It's really an invaluable resource.
I agree. You'll also want to use Arrive's cost of living calculator, which we've also linked out to below, to get an idea of what your costs are going to be when you move to your new city so that you can start saving accordingly. Ideally, you should have at least enough saved up for 6 months worth of expenses in Canada. And this may be more than the settlement funds you're required to bring in as a new permanent resident.
That's right.
That said, most of your pre-arrival preparation starts in earnest after you've been approved for PR and have received your confirmation of permanent residence or COPR. And it is at this time that you can sign up for settlement services. Clem, do you want to give an overview of what settlement agencies are and how they can help newcomers?
Sure thing. So the Government of Canada partners with a number of pre-arrival settlement agencies to provide free settlement advice, orientation, and referral services to newcomers who've been approved for permanent residence in Canada. And the purpose of these settlement services is to help new PRs learn about and adapt to various aspects of life in Canada, like getting a job, finding housing, and more, so that they can become productive members of Canadian society faster. These services are fully funded by the government, so they're available to you at no cost. So we really recommend that you make the most of them if you get access to them.
Yes, but bear in mind that you can only register for pre-arrival settlement services after you receive a COPR. That said, you can always get started with your own research before that. For instance, you can check out the Arrive website on information on topics that you're curious about. So, Clem, let's talk about some of the things newcomers should be doing 6 months before their arrival in Canada.
Yes. Well, there's definitely a lot of research and things to learn about in the months preceding your move. I'd say your top priority should be preparing for the Canadian job market. Mm-hmm. And this encompasses lots of different things. For instance, in Canada, some occupations like medicine, nursing, engineering, teaching, these are regulated occupations and you need a provincial license to work in these jobs. If you're in a regulated occupation, you should ideally contact your provincial regulator and get the licensing process started well before your move. The process may take 6 to 12 months, depending on the occupation and on the province you're moving to. So it's a good idea to start that process sooner rather than later. 6 months before arriving, you should also start actively networking with professionals in your field in Canada. Connect with people on LinkedIn, set up virtual coffee chats, sign up for online networking events. the stronger your network is, the more support you'll have as you get ready to enter that Canadian job market.
Yes, absolutely. Networking is a crucial part of Canada's work culture. So listen to our earlier episode on how to build your network and use the link in the description to download our free networking guide for newcomers as well.
Yeah, but before you begin networking, don't forget you do need to update your LinkedIn profile so that it's aligned with the type of job that you're looking for in Canada. And this is also a good time to identify the top employers that you'd be interested to work for in Canada and to take a look at the types of opportunities that are available in those companies. Mm-hmm. And while you're reviewing those relevant job postings, make note of all the skills and experiences that Canadian employers are looking for. This will give you plenty of insight for your own resume. And if you're missing any of those key skills, then you still have enough time before your move to take a course or complete a certification program for those skills.
That's true. And you don't necessarily have to take a course. You can also teach yourself new skills or spend time practicing an existing one. Just make sure that you add these to your LinkedIn profile and to your resume. So one of the things I did in the months before my move was to create a master resume. A master resume isn't the version that you'll send out to employers when you're applying for jobs. Those will, of course, have to be customized to each role, and they'll only contain information that's relevant to that particular job. But a master resume is essentially a comprehensive document that includes all of your skills, your experiences, and accomplishments. And when you're ready to apply to jobs in Canada, you can pick and choose relevant points from it.
Yeah, this is a really great approach. It can help you save a lot of time when you're applying to multiple jobs every day. There are a few other things that you can do to improve your employability as well. For instance, if your language skills are weak, spend time practicing your English or French or take a language course. Also, if you didn't get an educational credential assessment, also called ECA, for your permanent resident application, you might want to get one now. Some employers may want to verify the validity of your educational degrees or diplomas, so having a valid ECA can be helpful.
Thanks, Clem. That's an excellent tip. Besides preparing for their job search, what else should newcomers be doing at this stage?
Well, 6 months out, you should also be gathering information about everyday things like housing and healthcare in Canada. What are the types of homes that are available for rent? What is the average rental cost in the city you're moving to? What will your provincial healthcare plan cover? Will you get healthcare coverage as soon as you register for a health card, or is there a waiting period that you need to factor in? If you have kids, then schools are another thing that you should find out about. What are the types of schools in your city? Are they free or do you need to pay fees? When does the school year start? What documents will you need to get your child enrolled?
Mm-hmm. Another thing I would recommend adding to your list of things to research is banking and finances.
Yes.
So for instance, which Canadian banks have a good reputation? Which ones offer newcomer-specific products? What bank accounts and financial products will you as a newcomer need initially? I had moved to Canada from India, and compared to my home country, the banking sector and products in Canada were very different. For instance, in India, our primary personal spending account was a savings account. But here in Canada, people use a checking account for everyday transactions, and savings accounts are used for setting money aside. So very different.
Yeah, things can get confusing unless you learn about these differences before you get here. So if you're coming from a country where credit cards aren't commonly used or where people don't take loans or credit unless it's absolutely necessary, you'll have to mentally prepare for a very different way of doing things here. You'll need to learn about credit scores, credit histories, why credit's important. And this is not just for your own financial well-being, but it also touches other aspects of your life. How to go about building your credit score in Canada. Arrive has lots of really helpful information on this. We've got a financial guide that covers all banking basics and investments and credit, everything you need to be aware of as a newcomer. So if that's something that you're doing your research on, you can find a link to it in the episode description.
Absolutely. And ideally, you should do all of this research in a couple of months, because by the time you have about 3 months left in your home country, things will start to get really busy.
That's true. 3 months before your move, you'll most likely have received your COPR and visa. And if so, make sure you book your flight tickets before your visa expires. Usually, your COPR and visa are valid for 1 year from the date you appeared for your medical exam. So you can't travel on expired documents. And also air tickets tend to become more expensive as you book them closer to your travel date. So don't wait for longer than necessary.
And once you have your landing date locked down, some Canadian banks like RBC, for instance, allow you to start the process of opening a Canadian bank account virtually. So you can book an appointment with an RBC newcomer advisor through the link in the episode description to get started. One advantage of opening a Canadian bank account before you arrive is that you can actually transfer funds from your home country and use the transfer documents as proof of settlement funds. Plus, once you're here physically present in Canada, you will have faster access to your money.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. Mm-hmm.
It is also a good idea to book some form of temporary accommodation for your first few weeks or months. This can be an Airbnb, a hotel, hostel, or if you have friends or family in your future city, you can also consider staying with them for a while.
Yeah, inventory is limited for some of these forms of short-term accommodation, especially during peak season. So I recommend you don't wait until the last minute to make that booking. And once you have your COPR, it's always advisable to register with a pre-arrival settlement agency for additional guidance and one-on-one support.
Absolutely agree. The documents you get along with your COPR will also have a list of government-approved settlement agencies that you can choose from. Make sure you register well in advance of your arrival so you have ample time to prepare. Usually, you will need to visit their website, create an account, and upload a copy of your COPR in order to register. Next, if you're still working in your home country, you should also check your employment contract or speak to HR to confirm how much notice you will need to give your employer before quitting your job. In India, I remember I had to give 3 months notice, but that might vary depending on your country's laws or the company that you work for.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that you give your employer sufficient notice so that they can find and train a replacement. Yeah. Because even though you're moving to a new country, you should really try and leave your job on good terms.
Absolutely.
You should also ask your manager and coworkers for LinkedIn recommendations before you leave, while your performance, your contributions are still fresh in their mind. And let them know that your future employer might contact them for a reference check as part of the hiring process. And that's why you want to stay on good terms with your past employers. Mm-hmm. Besides that, if you have 2 or more years of driving experience in your home country, you should contact your regional transportation authority and get a driver's license extract.
That is a great tip. So every province and territory in Canada has its own process for issuing driver's licenses. Usually it involves a knowledge test and 1 or 2 road tests, and it can take over 2 years to get a full license in Canada. But if you have a driver's license extract from your home country, the process becomes much faster. Clem, what else should newcomers be doing about 3 months before their travel date?
Well, we talked about researching schools for your children earlier, mm-hmm. But by the time you're 3 months out, you should start contacting the school board in your future city and figure out the admissions requirements and timelines. Usually, your child will have to attend a school that's within a certain distance from where you'll be staying. So in order to register them, you'll have to have at least a temporary address at the time of registration. And you should also collect your children's current school records, academic transcripts, vaccination records, and any other documents that the school board asks for.
Time really flies when you're getting ready for a major life change, like moving to a new country. By the time you have 30 days to go before your departure, things will start to really pick up. At this stage, consolidating your finances should probably be a priority. This means taking inventory of all the bank accounts that you have, your credit cards, and other financial products that you have in your home country, and closing all of the accounts that you won't need once you're in Canada. If you have any ongoing loans or debt, pay them off in full. If you have any recurring payments, such as subscriptions for delivery or streaming services, make sure you cancel them. Or if you have any systematic investments or recurring payments that you plan to keep going, you might want to set up automatic payments so you don't have to keep manually transferring money once you're in Canada.
Yeah, and you might want to keep 1 or 2 bank accounts open in your home country, especially if you're not transferring all of your money beforehand. In that case, you may want to research your local banking regulations and speak to your bank to find out if your accounts can stay as is or if they need to be converted into non-resident accounts, for example.
That's true. I remember I had to convert my Indian bank accounts to non-resident accounts within 180 days of becoming a permanent resident of Canada. And 1 month out, you should also start actively applying for jobs in Canada. Some newcomers even manage to get job offers before they land here. So make sure you don't wait until you arrive to start applying.
That's right. Job portals like LinkedIn, Monster, Indeed, and Glassdoor are good places to begin your job search. You might also want to register with some Canadian employment agencies. Just don't forget to customize your resume and cover letter for every single job application to improve your chances of being hired.
Yes, that is extremely important. We also have some free downloadable resume templates, which are linked out in the episode description. So be sure to use them.
You should also start preparing for job interviews and get familiar with commonly asked interview questions in Canada. And you can start crafting your elevator pitch that you can use to introduce yourself during interviews or at networking events. We talked about some of these topics in earlier episodes of this podcast, so give those a listen if you haven't already.
Absolutely. Clem, what else would you say newcomers should be prioritizing 1 month before their arrival?
Well, we usually recommend visiting your doctor, your dentist, your ophthalmologist if you wear glasses. Mm-hmm. Get a checkup, collect copies of your health records. And if you've got any ongoing medication, get a longer prescription and refill your medicines. Because, first of all, it can take a few weeks to register for provincial healthcare coverage. And in some provinces, there's a wait time before your coverage begins. And secondly, depending on the city you're moving to, it can sometimes take a long time to find a family doctor that's accepting new patients.
Yes. And in most cases, dental and vision care isn't covered under provincial health plans. So if you need fillings or new eyeglasses, it's a good idea to get them before leaving your country. Ideally, you should also purchase travel insurance so that you're covered in case there's an emergency during your trip or for your initial weeks here, at least until your provincial coverage starts. Now is probably also the time to start making preparations for vacating your house. If you live in a rented home, you will have to give the landlord some notice before moving out. The terms vary by region, so check your rental agreement or speak to your landlord. If you own your home, you might want to sell it or rent it out before you go.
And then you also need some time to dispose of the items that you don't plan on taking to Canada with you. So decide what it is that you want to bring. Check the Canadian government and your airline's rules to make sure those items are allowed. If you plan on bringing larger items like furniture, then you'll have to make shipping arrangements for those things. And for the things that you don't want to take with you, like your car, electronics, extra clothes, make sure that you also plan for enough time to sell, donate, or scrap those. Just remember that you might need some of these things up until the day you move out, like your bed or your fridge. So mm-hmm. plan accordingly.
Yep, that's true. And when you have approximately 2 weeks left, you should start packing. Check your flight ticket or your airline's websites for instructions on how much luggage you're allowed to carry. In most cases, you can bring extra bags for an additional fee, so don't worry too much about it.
Yes, with regards to packing, ideally, you should bring at least some weather-appropriate clothing accessories, especially if you're arriving in the fall or winter. If you're moving from a warm country where winter wear is hard to find, you can purchase the heavier items like jackets and boots after you get here, but you'll still need enough warm clothing to layer up, at least for the first couple of days in Canada until you have time to go shopping. It's also a good idea to fill out the settler's effect forms. They're also called B4 and B4A. Do that while you're packing. You need to submit copies of these forms to the customs official at the Canadian airport so that you can bring your items into Canada without paying duties or taxes. Now, you can fill these forms out later, but it's easier to do while you're packing. Then gather all your travel documents, such as your passport, COPR or port of entry letter or letter of introduction if you're coming on a work or study permit, your visa, your flight tickets. Get the documents you need to show proof of funds, whether it's bank statements, a bank draft, traveler's checks, or proof of money transferred to a Canadian account. You should also purchase some Canadian dollars for your initial weeks, but remember to keep the receipt in case customs officer asks about the source of those funds.
Mm-hmm. Some newcomers these days also choose to get a foreign exchange debit card instead of cash or an international credit card that can be used to spend in CAD.
That works just as well. Besides that, you may also want to get an international roaming plan for your phone or a calling card so that you can call your loved ones back home and let them know that you've safely landed in Canada. Some Canadian phone providers also let you order a SIM card online and get it delivered to your address in Canada. And another option is getting an eSIM or digital SIM, but to make sure to check if those are compatible with your device first. If you're landing at a major airport, you can also buy a SIM card and a prepaid phone plan there. And if you want to wait a couple of days before getting a Canadian phone number, make sure you do your research in advance so that you're aware of the phone plans available in your future city.
And of course, you might want to deactivate your existing phone plan or switch to a prepaid plan, back in your home country, so that you don't have to keep paying a monthly bill back home after coming to Canada. In my case, for example, I wanted to keep my Indian phone number active because it was linked to my Indian bank accounts and I needed it for one-time passwords. So I just switched to an annual prepaid plan before moving.
Great tip. Besides that, you should also do some research about the public transit, taxi, or rideshare options in your city to figure out how you'll get from the airport to the place you'll be staying, whether that's with friends or temporary rental like an Airbnb.
Yes. And if you won't have access to the internet immediately after you arrive, you can also download offline maps of your Canadian city on your phone. This can be really helpful when you're trying to find the closest grocery store or transit stop.
That's a really, really useful tip. I do this all the time when I travel. It's so helpful. So once you've done all of this, the final week before your move shouldn't be too hectic. If you're vacating your house, you may need to hand over the keys to the landlord or to the new owner or tenant. If you were renting the house and had paid a deposit, don't forget to collect your money before you leave. You'll also have to arrange a place to stay for your last few days in your home country. And this might be with your family or friends or at a hotel near the airport.
Absolutely. Hopefully, you're almost completely packed by this time, barring a few essential items that you'll probably need till the very last minute, like your electronics, your phone charger, adapters, toiletries, etc. Just make sure you don't leave anything important behind. But even if you do, don't worry, you can buy these things in Canada, so don't let that stress you out. Ideally, you should spend as much time as possible during your last week with family and friends because you might not get to see them for a while, at least not in person.
Yes, and it's also a good way to unwind and relax after the stress of the last few weeks and months and ahead of your big trip.
That is true. And finally, make sure you get enough sleep the night before your flight so that you can enjoy the trip. If possible, get some rest on the plane because even after you land, getting through the immigration queues at the airport in Canada can take a few hours. We wish you the very best as you prepare for your life as a newcomer. And remember that Arrive is with you every step of the way. You can find a lot of this information in our guide on preparing for your move to Canada and in our pre-arrival checklist. And you will find links to both of these resources in the episode description. Clem, thank you so much for joining me today. This episode and all of the insights that you shared will be incredibly useful for newcomers as they get ready for their arrival in Canada. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. We hope the tips we shared today will help you be better prepared as you start your new life in Canada. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. And we hope to see you back for the next episode.